Hi, everybody. It's Carol Tice from the Make a Living Writing blog and Freelance Writer's Den. I'm super excited to present a special project that I've been working on for a while. A few months back, I had the insight that despite all of the different classes I've put together and putting together the support in the Den and all the courses we teach in there, that there was still kind of a missing piece for a lot of freelancers that was keeping them from moving forward, and that was just dealing with fear issues. Everyone I talked to, it was this fear, fear, fear. So I asked a lot of my friends on the internet to help me with tips about how they overcame fears, and they really came through for me. We have nearly an hour of tips and ideas and strategies here. I'm gonna let my experts kick this off. I do have a couple tips of my own I wanna include, and I'm gonna read a few tips from people who, for a couple reasons, didn't wanna read their own. They have a heavy accent, or one of them came in on email that I just had to include because it's so awesome. So I will be back in a few minutes, and until then, here are my Fearbuster expert tips. And I hope they help inspire you and move you forward and help you earn more in the coming year.
Hi, everybody. This is Linda Formicelli with the Renegade Writer here to share my best fear-busting tip with you. I know most writers, especially new writers, are scared. They're afraid of failure, afraid of success, afraid of marketing themselves, afraid to pick up the phone. I mean, you name it, they're afraid of it. And it's totally understandable. When you become a writer, you're putting yourself out there and you're putting your writing out there for everybody to see and potentially criticize. And that's hard. I mentor writers on the phone, and I used to advertise that I could help writers get past their fears. Then we would spend a half hour on the phone while the writer tried to figure out why she was afraid, and then we would figure out ways to beat down that particular fear. But after working with thousands of writers through my blog and my e-courses, my mentoring, I came to a very big realization, and that is that it doesn't matter why you're afraid. It doesn't matter. All that matters is that you do the work in spite of the fear. Those big name writers that you admire, most of them didn't navel gaze their way out of their fears, and they weren't miraculously born with no fear. They are just like you and me. They were probably afraid of something, but they just decided to write anyway, even though they were scared out of their wits. I once interviewed Gretchen Rubin for an article for Writer's Digest, and she's best known for her book, The Happiness Project. She said something that really stuck with me. She said, "You don't take action because you're motivated. You get motivated when you take action." And the same can be said for fear. You don't write because you found a way to beat your fears. You beat your fears by starting to write. The more you write, the less afraid you'll be. When I was starting out over 16 years ago, I was totally freaked out by interviews. I'm not a phone person. I'm not a good speaker, and that's why I became a writer. But I forced myself to do these interviews because I really, really wanted to make it as a freelance writer, and I didn't want to have to go back to the 9 to 5. And what happened was that slowly, the more interviews I did, the less afraid I became because I gained confidence in my abilities. I saw I can do this, it's working out. And I saw that no harm would come out of interviewing people. Everybody was nice. I never had a problem. And eventually, I lost almost all my fear. So if you're afraid of some aspect of writing, don't spend a year trying to figure out why you're afraid and getting therapy and talking to mentors and wondering, why am I so afraid? What can I do about this particular fear? Just make yourself do the work despite the fear, and you'll eventually gain confidence and you'll become less and less afraid. So that is my tip. And this is Linda Formicelli signing out. Bye.
Hi, everybody. This is Peter Bowerman, author of The Well-Fed Writer and a commercial freelancer since 1993. And this is my fear-busting tip. In The Well-Fed Writer, I talk about cold calling, and I share an idea that's helped a lot of people. And I'll explain it as I do when I do workshops. I ask, if you're starting a cold calling campaign, should you focus on action or results? That is, taking the action or the outcome of those actions, the result. And some will say results, but someone will say eventually will say action. And I say that's the right answer. Why? Because you can control actions, but you can't control results. I say this is why cold calling freaks out so many people, because they're so worried about how they're going to do and how it's going to turn out, instead of just taking the action and not worrying about the outcome, which you actually have little control over. You have no control over whether someone is a prospect for writing services, or whether they already have a writer or two or ten that they use, or if they're even having a bad day. But you have complete control over the actions that you take. I talk about two writers who start out in the morning at 9 o'clock, one with a goal of making 50 phone calls, the other with a goal of getting two new writing jobs or three hot leads, okay? Well, at the end of the day, who will have had a more stressful day? I think it's clear that the one who had hot leads and jobs as their goal is going to have a much more stressful day. The guy who makes 50 calls, he just makes his 50 calls. And once he's done, and you forget about it. And there's the clincher. Assuming that you get the basics in place, a decent script, and yes, you should have a script when you're making cold calling, and a good phone voice, then if you take enough action, the results will come. That's the law of averages. It's a given. But this same principle, kind of in an overarching way, can apply to most any action that you take, marketing, writing, or otherwise, in your business. Decide what concrete action you're going to take. Get your ducks in a row to the best of your ability at that point. Then shut off your analytical side, you know, the side that keeps going on and on about how you don't know what you're doing, and who are you fooling, and you've got to be kidding, and you're going to be making an idiot of yourself, and everything else. Just shut that off and just do it. And know this, that no action you take in your writing business that you're putting off for any reason will ever be as scary as you've made it out to be. Ever. Hope that helps. Good luck.
Hi, Carol. This is Alexis Grant from alexisgrant.com and therightlife.com. And my best fear-busting tip is to break down your fear into little bitty pieces. And you can do this in two ways. You can actually look at kind of what you're afraid of and break that down and think about whether the pieces of that fear are actually realistic or whether you're kind of blowing it up in your mind. Or you can also break it down into action steps. So whenever I'm feeling scared about something, I like to break it down into actionable tasks, little pieces of tasks that I can actually achieve, things that don't feel super daunting. So when I break down this fear into little pieces, it actually a lot of times doesn't look all that scary at all. You know, I say, oh, I can do this piece and I can do that piece. And if there are any gaps, I figure out how to fill them. But the entire task overall seems a lot less daunting when I break it down. And I'll give you a quick example. And this is an example that shows that the anxiety that you feel when you're first starting your own business, while it might get a little bit better over time, it often doesn't completely go away. And even those of us who have been running our own businesses for a few years still get anxiety, especially over money. And I think money is a big fear that a lot of people have, fear of not having enough money. So whether you're starting your own business, whether you're working as a freelancer, often we just worry that the money is not going to be there to support us. And so recently, I had this fear about money. And I've been in business for myself now for 3 years, 3.5 years, actually, 2 years full time, because I started out as a side gig. And still, I worry that we're going to lose one of our big clients. I run a content marketing business, and I have about a team of about 10 people who help me service our clients. And so it's not a small business at this point. It's really grown. And I still worry that we're going to lose one of the clients that give us a lot of money each month. And so I use this fear-busting tip
for myself recently, and my coach helped me out, my business coach, we looked at this fear and we said, okay, how can we break it down? The truth is, realistically, you're probably not going to lose one of those big clients. But even if you do, what would happen next? You'd try to get a new client to replace that revenue, or you'd create a new product or launch a new website to replace that revenue. And all of those things that I could do are very real opportunities for me. So the truth is, if we lost a client, we could fairly easily replace that revenue within 30 days or so. This is what my coach and I figured out when we actually broke it down. And that made me feel a lot better. So whenever I have that same anxiety, you know, whenever it pops up and I start to worry about making enough money to cover our expenses, I remind myself to really break that down and, you know, think about what are the pieces of the puzzle that I can, you know, really rely on? What are the pieces of the puzzle that are true and realistic and things that I should actually worry about versus pieces that maybe I've blown up a little bit in my mind? And when I really take it down to those little pieces, they actually don't exist that much anymore. So that's my fear busting tip, and I hope it's helpful to you all. Thanks.
Hey everyone, this is Ed Gandia from the High Income Business Writing Podcast and International Freelancers Academy. And today I want to share with you a very important message on fear. There's a 12-year-old boy who has been one of my biggest sources of inspiration over the past 30 years. This kid was born and raised in the Spanish-speaking island of Puerto Rico. He had never lived anywhere else up until that point, and at the time of the story, he could barely speak English. A few months before his 13th birthday, he and his family moved to the U.S. for the very first time, and they moved to the heart of the Deep South. So it's challenging enough to try to learn a new language, but when you're in a part of the country that has a significant accent, it was very challenging for this kid to assimilate and learn and even master the language. But it was in this new strange environment that he experienced one of his biggest defining moments of his life. And it happened when he visited his new school to register for the following year's classes. One of his teachers asked him a very simple question, to which this kid replied, I'm from Puerto Rico. The teacher looked quite puzzled, and not because of the kid's accent, but because he realized that this boy had no idea what he'd just been asked. And he replied by saying, well, that's great, but that's not what I asked you. My question was, what grade are you going into next year? So that's how bad this boy's English was. He couldn't even understand a basic question. And he was so embarrassed by this inability to communicate that he made an immediate decision right there and then to do something about his language deficiency. As he tells it, he had never been so determined to improve himself as he was that day. So on his way home, he asked his mom to take him to the local library where he came across the Hardy Boys book series. The series and the story sounded very interesting, so he went ahead and checked out 5 books from that collection, and he read them all by the next day. And to accelerate his progress, he asked his parents to speak only English at home. And he also went out of his way to make friends around the neighborhood. And yes, kids would often tease him. They thought his accent was kind of funny, but by the end of the summer, he had read more than 100 Hardy Boys books. He was completely fluent in English, and his accent was much better. He could actually even speak a little Southern. During his senior year of high school, he went on to write a series of essays that earned him over $5,000 in scholarships. And while he was in college, he honed his writing skills to the point where friends would often come to him for help with their term papers. He didn't really aspire to write for a living, but when he was 32, he began moonlighting as a freelance copywriter, and 2 years later, he had built enough of a business that he was able to quit his day job and write full-time. If you haven't already figured it out, that kid was me. English is my second language, but I'm not sharing the story to impress you or to prove that anyone can learn a second language. I share the story to make a very important point about fear. We all experience fear. But fear is not a real thing. Fear is our interpretation of a situation. And if you want to break through the challenges you might be facing right now, whatever they are, you have to push through that fear and act anyway. At the moment of truth, there are no tricks to doing this gracefully. There are no techniques, no workarounds. You simply have to act. Only through the power of action will the fear begin to subside, because you'll begin to see that what you feared is not as big and scary as what you imagined it to be before you push forward. Franklin D. Roosevelt once said, "Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the assessment that something else is more important than fear." When I made that decision and that firm commitment to master the English language, I did it because I realized that my desire to improve my situation was greater than the fear of putting myself through that process, the fear of being ridiculed, of learning something very challenging. And here's the thing. We've all looked back at points in our lives when going after something worthwhile seemed very scary, yet we did it anyway, despite the fears, and we succeeded. Yet when looking at it now, we wonder why we were so afraid at the time. Ever feel that way when you look back at these events? I know I have many times. So here's where I'm going with this. If you know that at some point in your life, you're going to look back at the things that you fear today and wonder why you were so afraid, why not act that way now? Why not act like the person you will soon be, the person who will look back at what you're facing today and laugh at the thought of this challenge being the scariest thing in the world? Life is too short. We're meant to live it to the fullest while we're here. Don't shortchange yourself by living a life of fear. Push through these fears, knowing that what lies on the other side of that fear is much more important than the fear itself. This has been Ed Gandia of the High Income Business Writing Podcast at B2BLauncher.com.
Hello, this is Steve Slonwhite. I'm the co-author of The Wealthy Freelancer and author of The Everything Guide to Writing Copy. I also own a website for copywriters called CopywritingTrainingCenter.com. And what I want to talk to you about today is overcoming the fear of new or big projects. For example, a new project like writing a case study for the first time. You might not feel ready to do that if it's your very first case study. Or a big project like writing a brand new company website with a dozen product pages and an About Us page and you know, dozens of pages and lots of planning in that type of project. It might seem too big for you and it might seem intimidating. And I find that many copywriters, when they're confronted with a brand new type of project or a big project, that their tendency is to want to say no because they feel they're not ready yet. They don't feel they're up to the task. And I find that a lot of copywriters lose opportunities for that reason. Because like most things in life, if you wait until you're 100% ready, then you probably won't ever do it. So what I want to talk about is overcoming this fear of new or big projects. And I'm not entirely immune to this myself. I've run into this fear many, many times in my copywriting career over the past 16 or 17 years. In fact, a few years ago, I wanted to get involved in writing annual reports because, you know, 10, 12 years ago, that was a high-paying project. You could get $10,000 to write a single annual report. So I was looking into writing that type of project, and I was quietly promoting myself in that area, although I had never written an annual report before. And then one day I got a phone call from a potential client, and he said, you know, I understand you write annual reports. I said, yes. He said, good. We need a good writer for our annual report. We're in a bit of a rush. We want you to come in tomorrow and interview the management team, including the CEO, in order to get the content for the annual report. Then we'll discuss your fee and other details later. And I was absolutely overwhelmed and a little bit mortified. I was so nervous. I mean, I had never written an annual report before. And here I was invited to go in the next day to talk to the CEO and senior executives about their annual report. So I said yes initially on the phone, but to be honest with you, I spent most of that day contemplating phoning that potential client back and saying, sorry, I won't be able to do it. I just don't have the experience. You need to be speaking to another writer. But as it turns out, I didn't do that. I went ahead with the project. I met with the management team. I was really nervous, but I prepared as best I could. And although that project was a bit of a grind because it was a brand new project, I've never written an annual report before, I did manage to write that report pretty well, and the project went well, and the client was happy. And over the next few years, I ended up writing a couple of dozen other annual reports. And of course, the other annual reports I wrote were much easier to do because now I had experience. So I was so glad that I didn't back out of that big project, that new project of an annual report, simply because I was a little bit fearful or because I felt I wasn't 100% ready. I jumped in and did it, and I'm so glad I did because it really paid off. So the next time that you have an opportunity with a new or a potential client to work on a project that is new for you and unfamiliar for you, or a project that is big and perhaps you feel it's a little bit too big for you, I would encourage you to just do it. And let me give you a four-step strategy that can help, or four things to think about. When confronted with a new or big project, number one, expect to be nervous. Expect to be a little fearful. It's intimidating handling a new or big project. So just know that you're going to feel that way and just accept it. When I handle a new or big project, I'm nervous and I just accept it. Number two, get all the information you need. When I got that annual report project, I quickly that evening researched the formats. I went through some other annual reports that I found in the library. I got all the information I could because the more informed you are, the more prepared you are, the more confident you become. And number three, expect that that first project, that first new or big project, is going to take longer than normal, maybe two or three times longer than normal. And that's okay. So give yourself that time. And then finally, number four, don't hesitate. Jump in with both feet and give that project all you got. Chances are, if you do that, you know, the project is probably going to turn out just fine, and you're going to be so glad that you handled that new or big project. Because as soon as you handle your first new or big project, the next project like it is going to be that much easier and you'll be that much more confident. I'm Steve Slomwhite, and good luck with your next new or big project.
Hi, it's Carol Tice, and I'm back to read you a fear tip from Nigerian blogger and freelance writing success story, Bamidele Onabolusi. He says, I can really relate to this Dale Carnegie quote I recently discovered. Inaction breeds doubt and fear. Action breeds confidence and courage. If you want to conquer fear, do not sit home and think about it. Go out and get busy. He says, for months, I watched my freelance writing career struggle, and I could do nothing. At the end of the day, I find myself doing the same thing, watching TV, playing tennis, wasting away most of my day. I realized this was due to a fear I had. I became overwhelmed with everything I had to do to ensure my freelance writing career is successful. Once I realized this, I came up with a three-step process I've successfully used to overcome my fears and get me started. Number one, imagine the results. For me, to kick out my fear, it's important that I'm motivated at my work. I want to imagine the results as a powerful motivator. Sometimes that's my income goal for a particular month or some other result, and that drives me and motivates me to do the work it takes. Step two is to break down the tasks. The key part of my process is to break down tasks. Instead of saying, make five figures this month, I break down my work into the number of clients I have to work for, individual articles I have to do for them, and how many and which of these I have to do on a particular day. And he says he uses the Pomodoro app, which, if you don't know, sets a timer for 30 minutes or a time you set to keep you focused on a task for a set amount of time. This has been immensely helpful in helping me focus on completing tasks instead of being overwhelmed by them. And his third step is develop a routine. He says, every day I make sure I go to my home office at a certain time, get to my computer, and work. My routine is both about the time I work and the place I work at, and I found this to be helpful, and the work I do becomes easier every day. So thanks for that, Oni, and we'll be back with more tips. Coming up next is Sean D'Souza.
Hi, my name's Sean D'Souza, and I run a company called Psychotactics.com. Now, fear is something that doesn't really go away. And I'll talk to you about two aspects. The first is about my wife. My wife used to work for a company, and at some point in time, she decided to work with our company. And I would always ask her, if something happened to me, what would you do? And she always said, I'll get a job. So she was always willing to go back into that security zone, that comfort zone that she knew of. And fair enough, because you want to stay where you are simply because it makes you comfortable. And no matter how many times people tell you, you have to step out of that comfort zone, your brain doesn't respond in that way because it hasn't been trained in that way. And it is impossible for you to go from where you are to where you want to be in a second, or in a minute, or in a week, or 2 weeks, or 5 weeks, or 7 weeks. And it took her several years before, you know, I could ask the same question, and she would say, well, I've got what I need, and if something were to happen to you, I know what I could do. So that question took a very long time, almost 2 or 3 years. And so the biggest problem is when we try to shortcut that process, and we try to say, well, I'm going to reach this goal in the next 2 months or 3 months. I speak mostly from people who have been in a position which has been a comfort zone. Maybe it's a job, maybe you worked for someone else, maybe I don't know what you've been doing. But the point is that it is very difficult to go from one position where you get told what to do and how to do it and when to do it to doing everything yourself. So there is absolute fear there. And you have to give yourself time and you have to give yourself space. So you start with small tasks and you keep doing them and you grow from there, and that's the only way you can go forward. The other way is to be putting yourself into a situation where you can't back out from. I moved to New Zealand in the year 2000. I didn't know anyone here. I moved from India and I had no choice. So I just went out there, met with all the people I needed to meet, and at some point in time, the tide turned. It didn't turn right at once. It took quite a bit of time, but eventually it happened. And so there are two ways, and one is to systematically go about small changes and until you're comfortable. And the other way is to just burn your bridges. Now, despite all of this, the fear doesn't go away. So we've run Psychotactics for pretty much 13 years now. And it would be an understatement to say that we've made millions of dollars from it, but we have. Just The Brain Audit, which is a book, has sold over $500,000 worth of stuff, and all our products continuously sell. But every time I launch a service or a product or a workshop or a course, there is that fear. There is that this is not going to work. No one's going to sign up. And it's not because I know that no one's going to sign up. It's just something that kind of comes in and sits in your head. And you wonder, is it good enough? You know, will people want it? Is it the price right? There are so many parameters that the fear eventually comes back at some point. And the only way to get rid of that fear is to just do it. And if it fails, it fails. And most of the time, it doesn't fail. Most of the time, there's always someone that steps in, and then the fear goes away. And as more people step in, a certain amount of arrogance comes in, which you have to subdue. Because what we've had is a situation where our workshops, you know, despite being expensive, sold out in 20 minutes, 25 minutes. Our courses have sold out in 25 minutes. Does the fear go away? No, it doesn't go away. So to just sum up, you want to make sure that, one, you either burn your bridges, like I did, or you do step by step, you know, small goals, but always moving ahead, just like my wife did. And the third thing is to remember that the fear doesn't go away. It doesn't matter how successful you get. There is always that fear that something may go wrong. And usually it doesn't go wrong. So step out of your comfort zone, whichever way you like. That's been Sean D'Souza from psychotactics.com. Saying bye for now. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Carol Tice here. I'm back to read you a fear tip from one of my students. Victoria Levine Case wrote to me recently to say she was taking one of my classes and that she had recently kind of gone through a process in her life where she overcame a lot of fears. And here's what she said to me about embarking on a freelance writing career. She said, at first I was terrified all the time. I wondered if I could make a living as a writer, as a single woman. And now I know I can write and I can live freely. I don't wake up that much anymore in a cold sweat. Not that I'm above fear or doubt or guilt, but now I know that I can stare into the eyes of my fear and take back my power. I can stand on my own feet and be who I am. And if I could give just one gift, I would give every woman that knowledge. I just love that, so I had to share that with you as part of the Fear Buster. And coming up next is my friend Danny Eney from Firepole Marketing.
When you make big bets, some of them are not going to play out the way you want them to. And that shouldn't be a deterrent that prevents you from making big bets, because the flip side is that if you don't make any big bets, none of them can play out in your favor either. You know, there's that, I think it's Wayne Gretzky who said, you know, you miss all of the shots that you don't take. And of course, that means you're still going to miss some of the shots you do take. But you have to take shots in order for there to be an opportunity for anything great to be done or achieved or created. The nature of the game is that you're dealing in a space of very imperfect information. That's what being an entrepreneur is. You're almost by definition doing things that haven't been done before. So there isn't a guaranteed plan. There isn't a crystal ball that's going to tell you what's going to work and what's not. And you have to take these risks. So I guess in terms of how you can operationalize some of this, some of these ideas, you've got to look at all the money you're making and kind of plan to set aside a certain percentage of that, you know, 5 or 10% in total of what you're making in a year is a good number to make these big bets and recognize that some of them won't pan out, and that's okay. You just want to see what you can learn from them, but you want to make these big bets because some of them will pan out, and that's going to be very, very important in making your business something that can grow, something that can expand, something that can be more than mediocre.
Freelance writing can definitely be an intimidating career choice, but successful freelancers are the ones who do what it takes to overcome their fears. I'm John Sories. I've been a freelance writer for over 20 years. I blog about time management, increased efficiency, and niche specialization at ProductiveWriters.com. I'm going to share two crucial pieces of advice to help you overcome your fear and become a successful freelance writer. The first piece of advice, always be professional. Be professional in your emails, on your website, on LinkedIn, and all forms of communication. Also be professional in your writing skills. You need to be a good writer. The second piece of advice, always be willing to put yourself out there. There's that expression, feel the fear and do it anyway. It's true. You've got to do that. My writing career began differently from most other people in that I started by having a book published. I'd always loved hiking, and I decided I wanted to write a hiking guidebook on my area of far northern California. I had a lot of fears around that. I'd never written anything, never really published anything. I wasn't known in the outdoors field, but I thought, I can pay attention to what needs to be done. I'm going to look at other guidebooks and see how they do it. So I overcame my fear to be able to write the book, but then I had the fear of approaching publishers. So what I did, I got books on how to create good book proposals. I followed those closely, created the best proposal I could. I submitted it to several publishers, and I fairly quickly got a contract with the Mountaineers Books. My first book went fairly well, and a couple of years later, they approached me to write the book that wound up becoming by far and away my bestseller, 100 Classic Hikes in Northern California. That sold 50,000 copies. It's now in its third edition, and it really helped solidify that first phase of my writing career. I needed to expand, though, so I decided that since I'd been teaching political science courses at the local community college, that I would see if I could write for the textbook publishing companies. I knew they needed somebody to write the test questions and the lecture outlines and the instructor's manuals, and I felt I could do that. I definitely had fear around it, though. I'd never really done it except for writing some test questions. I thought, perhaps I'm not smart enough. I don't have a PhD. Maybe they only want people with PhDs. I'm just a community college instructor. What if I make mistakes in the work and they don't like it? I overcame that fear. I created the best resume I could. I created samples of my test questions. I sent it into editors. Fairly quickly, I got my first project for $4,000. I decided I wanted to expand into other subject areas, areas in which I didn't teach. And most specifically, I decided I wanted to expand into geography. So I contacted a geography editor. He wound up hiring me to do this certain type of work on the artwork for all the geography textbooks for his company, and I did that for 15 years. It worked out to be $15,000 to $20,000 a year that I made. It was probably $250,000 total, and it really set my career up really, really well. I always had that base income. It allowed me to buy a house in 2002 and sell it for a major profit in 2005. In conclusion, we all have fears and we must overcome them. I did it. Many of the other people you're going to hear from also did it. The two important ways that I shared with you about how to do it is, number one, always be professional. And number two, always be willing to put yourself out there. Be willing to go for it. Do that and you'll find that good things come your way.
Hi, I'm Joanna Penn, best-selling thriller author and blogger at thecreativepen.com. My biggest fear about being a full-time author entrepreneur was actually not making enough money and that I would basically have to go back to my day job. And I used to be a freelance IT consultant, which was not the most creative of jobs. So I didn't really didn't want to do that. And I'd actually, over the previous 9 years, I had left my job a number of times in an attempt to do something else and always had to go back. So in a way it was a fear, but I also faced that fear before, and I knew that if I had to go back to work, you know, it wouldn't be the end of the world. So that's kind of the first thing, is understanding what is the worst thing that could happen, and that is, yes, you have to get another job. And if that's waitressing or cleaning or whatever, I was willing to do that, basically. So I guess the other things I did to mitigate the risk is, first of all, I worked at the Creative Pen for 3 years while I still had my day job. So I used to get up really early at sort of 5 a.m., write my fiction before going to my day job. In the evenings, I would be blogging and interviewing people for my podcast and marketing, and I worked every weekend. I went to 4 days a week at my day job. So basically, I cut down 20% of my income first so that I could have the extra time to work on my business. So that was the other thing, I guess, was by the time I actually resigned, I was already making over $1,000 a month from my business. So I had to, you know, that was kind of my level. It's like, okay, I really have to move now because I can't grow this otherwise. Then the other thing I did is I saved for 6 months. So I had 6 months worth of money to pay the bills. So that gave me a buffer. And I also downsized. We actually sold our house. We moved from Australia back to England from a 4-bedroom house to a 1-bedroom apartment, got rid of the car, basically did everything to change our lifestyle so that it was far less expensive than it was when I was earning far more money. So those are the things that I did, and I've now been a full-time author entrepreneur for over two years. This is definitely it now. I'm not going to have to go back to a day job. So the fear of not making enough money was, I definitely mitigated that risk in a lot of ways, and my income continues to go up as I create more books and more products. But definitely, if I hadn't have tackled that fear, I wouldn't be living this brilliant life as an author entrepreneur. So hope that encourages you, and yeah, go do it. I'm Joanna Penn from thecreativepen.com.
Hello, it's John Morrow here from BoostBlogTraffic.com, and my fear-busting tip is actually a little unusual, and that is whatever you're afraid of, whatever you're having a hard time getting past, what I actually recommend is, instead of fighting that particular fear, focus your attention on something that you're afraid of even more. And what I mean by that is, imagine that you're afraid of writing a novel, for instance. Imagine yourself when you're 90 years old and you're laying in bed and you're dying and you're sitting there thinking about what your life would have been like if you had written that novel. Think about the regret in your eyes. Think about the shame in your children's eyes. Okay? When they think you're not looking. Right? Because you never pursued your dreams. Create as vivid of a scene as possible, and use that to get yourself moving toward where you need to go. Another thing that you can do, I mean, one of the basic reasons why there are deadlines, and why also people are paid in advance for things, is because we all need to be forced to do things sometimes. This is definitely the darker side of motivation, but for me, the most effective way to get me to write is actually to be paid for the writing in advance, and to know that I'm going to have to give back the money unless I finish it by a certain date. That'll get me moving every time. So, I mean, if you ask yourself the question, could you do what you need to do if you had a gun to your head? Well, the answer is, yeah, you probably could. The fear wouldn't mean anything, right? So what you have to do is systematically find new guns to put to your head to force yourself forward. The people who do that the best are often some of the most productive people I know. Is it the only way to be productive? No. And I don't think it means you can't love what you're doing. I don't think it means that you have to live in terror and discomfort and stress. But I do think all of us get a little lazy sometimes. And all of us have those days where we just can't seem to make ourselves do anything. And on those particular days, you know, depending on what kind of personality you have, maybe tantalizing yourself with rewards or some sort of positive reinforcement will get you going. But there are some people, like me, that no amount of positive reinforcement will work. Maybe you're one of those people too. Maybe the only thing that will get you going is a gun to the head. So you got to go find one, metaphorically speaking, of course. And the better you get at finding those, the more you'll get done. And the more you'll be in control of your fear rather than ruled by it. All right, so I hope that helps somebody. That's my fear-busting tip. Good luck.
When I started my online business, I had so many fears, and it felt impossible to even get started, which is why I didn't start for several years. The fears I had were things like not feeling good enough, not knowing where to start, being afraid of failure, being afraid of success, being afraid of wasting time, and the list went on and on, but I'll spare you the details. The bottom line is that whatever fear you have, everyone else has. So it's not about getting rid of the fear, but moving forward despite it. After years of giving in to my fears, I realized that if I wanted to have a fighting chance of doing what I loved, I had to at least try. I had to take action. I became so sick of giving in to my fears and excuses that I just started. I didn't care about failing anymore. The fears were still there, but I was going to move forward no matter what. I prioritized progress before excuses. And you know what I discovered? I discovered that the fears and worries in my head were figments of my imagination. They were thoughts in my head. Illusions that I had created to scare myself. So the best fear-busting tip is to challenge your fears and your assumptions. Because what's really happening is that you're making something up in your head that then stops you from taking action, that you allow to stop you. And the thing about fears is that they are self-fulfilling. So if you're afraid of failure, you won't put in the energy necessary to succeed. You'll fail because you're afraid of failure. The key for me has been to let my fears be there, but to take one tiny step forward at a time. It sounds simplistic, but you can try and get rid of your fears and try fancy techniques, but it all starts with that one step. You have to step out into the real world and try things out. Once I realized that fears were a part of my life and that fears didn't have to stop me, I reclaimed my power. I realized that I was in control of what thoughts I believe in and how I react to my fears. So you can start where you are. You don't have to be someone or have something in order to start. You always have everything you need to take the next step. Forget about building an empire and take one step forward. The empire will come in due time. So let me summarize what I've just said into three quick points. Number one, let your fears be. Feel them fully, but don't entertain them. There's a difference. Number two, forget about the big ideas. They'll come when you take tiny steps. And number three, challenge your fears. You hold the power to live the life you want to live and to achieve what you want to achieve. The decision is yours. So you may never be fearless, but you have to start before you're ready, and you have to jump in. It sounds scary, but that's because you make it scary. Don't believe in all of your thoughts. You don't have to take them so seriously, and you don't have to take life so seriously. Test your assumptions in the real world, and you'll see what I mean.
Hey guys, Susan Johnson here from UrbanMuseWriter.com. One thing I've noticed is that sometimes fear manifests itself as perfectionism, where you agonize and rewrite and second-guess yourself, but you never send in your pitch to that publication you're dying to write for. As long as you're revising, you don't have to face the potential for rejection or getting accepted and worrying that you won't live up to the editor's expectations. But then you also don't have the potential to get published and completely knock your editor's socks off. I teach freelance writing through my local adult education center, and I sometimes meet students who've taken almost every writing class we offer, but they haven't put themselves out there yet. They rationalize that if they take one more class or read one more book, then they'll feel ready. But there's always one more class to take or one more book to read, and you're never done honing your craft. I mean, even Gay Talese, the journalism legend who wrote the famous Frank Sinatra Has a Cold story for Esquire, still sometimes gets rejected. By Esquire, even, if you can imagine that. We all face the potential for rejection, and we're all unfinished. I recently started taking voice lessons again after a 10-year hiatus. I won several vocal competitions when I was younger, but I've since picked up some bad habits I'm trying to break. even though I'm still working with my teacher to work through some of those bad habits. And by the way, even world-class singers still have teachers or vocal coaches who push them to improve. I still go to auditions and masterclasses anyway. The kinds of things you learn by auditioning and performing on stage are different from the things you learn in the safer environment of a practice room or a teacher's studio. It's the same way for writers. The things you learn from a book about writing or a blog post or a writing class are different from the experience of pitching an editor, seeing what sticks, writing the article, and then working on revisions with an outside editor instead of the editor in your head. So stop agonizing and start pitching.
Hi, Carol. Thanks for having me on your podcast. To answer your question, the biggest fear I had when getting started freelancing and writing and really making money on my own was basically I would put in all the work, pitching people for new jobs, creating articles, sending out guest posts, and doing all this work to build up my client base and platform, and then realize at the end of the month I couldn't pay my rent because I didn't get any or enough jobs to eat or pay my rent or do things. Sure, I had the fear of people thinking I'm stupid or laughing at me, but if I sent in an article to an editor and they think I'm stupid because I didn't write well or whatnot, I could really care less because they've never met me and they probably won't remember me if I send them another email down the road. So that was a concern at first, but I felt like that was pretty easy to get over. But the biggest fear I had, was working for a month to find clients, get jobs, and then I found out, at the end that I just, didn't make the cut to pay my rent. I might have to ask my parents or, my girlfriend or my friends or whatever for a loan. That really didn't sound too appealing to me. So how did I overcome that fear? I guess I could tell you some motivational things, but I'm more into practical ways on how to overcome a fear. So the way I did was really from the only lesson that I remember from finance class, and that is to always spread out your investments. So I kind of took this approach with writing by working on jobs that I didn't particularly enjoy starting off with and jobs that didn't add much to my resume, such as content mills, and I know that we all kind of hate those, and freelancer.com. But this was safe money starting off with low risk that would help me pay my bills. But I always wanted to take risks as well. To put all your eggs into one basket to, sit there and work on content mills the entire week and then not put any investment into your actual career is somewhat foolish. You're just going to get stuck in that situation. So I wanted to take risks and try and hit some big clients. So I constantly sent out queries and pitches to bigger name clients and magazines that would pay me a little bit more fairly and give me consistent work. So I spent half my week doing grunt work for my rent and half my week actually working on my career. So it took a little longer for me, but hopefully other people can get some hits right when they start off, and that would be great. So you can kind of wean yourself off of those worse paying jobs that are pretty much for slave labor. So you just have to take on your writing career like you would in any other industry. Other industries have interns with low pay who constantly try to meet with big wigs and promote their career outside of work. Writing is no different. Yeah, you can't expect to come into the industry and start at the top, but you can pay your bills and by doing some grunt work and work really hard outside of that to try and get your break.
Hey, it's Carol Tice, and you were just listening to Joe Warnemont from Write with Warnemont. I hope you've enjoyed this Fearbuster. I am here to close it out with a final couple of tips. And the first is from Uttaran Sen from Guest Crew. And then I'm going to close it out with a tip of my own. So he says, ages back when I started out, there was so much fear inside me. I knew deep down it was going to work out, but walking that road was never easy. For me, I lost my fears when I got published on some of the major blogs on the internet. when I appeared on ProBlogger, CopyBlogger, John Chow, the reaction I got was a turning point for me. I lost my fear and my inner confidence started to grow. And that's the tip I give my followers and my students. Get published. Make it a habit to pitch and try to write for top blogs. Get published on ProBlogger, CopyBlogger, write to Jen, Huffington Post. Once your posts are live, reply to comments, you know, promote it in social media. Writing for A-list blogs isn't about traffic, audience, visibility, subscribers, or followers. It's more than that. You get expert status. People follow you because they think you're an expert, someone with authority, and your confidence will get a boost every time you see yourself on top blogs. So that's the tip from Uteran. I'm going to give you a final tip from back when I was a songwriter. And one of the things I used to do as a songwriter was I would load up my guitar and toddle over to a rundown old kind of three-story building on Hollywood Boulevard in LA to a songwriting workshop. It was led by an old lounge singer who was sort of a Liza Minnelli type, and she had had some success as a songwriter as well. And we would all play our songs, and then people would rip them apart. And I look back now, and I kind of can't believe I volunteered to do this, and I went on my own free will, but I actually couldn't wait to go because I wanted to learn so much about the craft. And one time we were in class, and one of the students said, "I'm just really, really afraid to play my song." And our teacher said, "Why is that?" And she said, "Well, I'm just really afraid that people will laugh at me." And our teacher said, "Oh, okay, well, we can do that for you. And play your song, and we'll laugh." So that's what we did. The songwriter played her song, and we all laughed and ridiculed it while she was playing it. And, of course, at the end of that, she was laughing, too, because it was obviously a ridiculous scenario. The odds that that would really happen to you were just non-existent. It was an irrational fear. And I think arranging to experience that fear, that worst fear, and make it actually come true was unbelievably powerful because it just shows you what phantoms these fears are, how absurd they are. They're not anything real. Like one of our earlier speakers said, it's something that's only in your mind. That's the only place it exists. And when you bring it out into the daylight and see what it would really be like if that fear happened, you see that it's absurd. It's just not, first of all, not going to happen. And even if it did, that you would live. You would get over it. You would get past it. Then, you know, the sun would come up tomorrow and you'd keep on going. So that's my final fear tip. Arrange to experience your fear live if you can. You know, get someone to read your article and then make fun of it in front of you. And you'll see that you survive. I really hope this Fear Buster has helped everybody out. And if you want to know more about any of our fear busting speakers that you've heard on this recording, please check them out on the page where this recording is located. See you all on my blog, folks.